Well, it's finally here. Welcome to Lent. Today we begin our Lenten sermon series on life and death, living and dying and grieving in Christ. Everyone's favorite thing to think about first thing in the morning, right? We'll be bouncing all over the Bible over the next 6 Sundays, but today we find ourselves in Paul's letter to the Romans. This is the longest of the New Testament letters, and today we are diving straight to the end of the letter, where Paul is trying to encourage this congregation to care for one another well, especially in the midst of disagreements. He urges them to love one another with the love of Christ, and to give up on arguing over small things that ultimately do not change how we follow Jesus. But what we're after in this section of Paul's letter is the why. Why does Paul want folks to stop yelling at each other about whether it's okay to celebrate holidays that don't revolve around Jesus, or whether Christians should eat meat or go vegan? Let's find out. This is Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. And they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, question for you. Did anybody else have to memorize parts of the Heidelberg Catechism as a kid? Anybody? A few. Okay, so it's not just me. Thank you. For those unfamiliar, the Heidelberg Catechism is a Christian confessional statement that was written in Germany in 1563, and it's one of the core documents for the Reformed and Presbyterian branches of the Christian family tree. Now, I will admit that I've forgotten a lot of the Heidelberg Catechism since I was a kid, but there's one part that just burrowed itself into my brain, that very first line. The catechism, begins, "What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong in body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ." Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. This is where we start. Before we get to anything else in this series, what it means to live a good, full life, what it means to die, how we grieve, we need that solid foundation. If you look closely, you will see this promise woven through every part of the Bible. In Genesis, God creates humanity and calls us very good. In Psalm 139, which Kathy read for us, we find out there is nowhere we can go in life or in death that God cannot reach us, that God knows every fiber of our being. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that when we are poor and depressed and persecuted and hopeless, grieving, hungry and thirsty and filled with longing, there God blesses us. Paul, just a few chapters earlier, offers this encouragement to the fledgling church in Rome. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he repeats, both to the Romans and the Corinthians, if we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Even the book of Revelation, with everything that's going on in there, ends with God's new creation and a declaration of God's intention. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. From the very first chapter to the very last, the Bible is shouting at us. God has not left us to fend for ourselves. We are God's creation and God's beloved people. The first breath of humanity came from God, and in the end, God's home is with us. When we hang our hats on this promise, it won't prevent pain or grief or suffering or need from entering our lives. But it will remind us that whatever this is, it will not last forever. Somehow, some way, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's compassion will have the last word. And it's not just the Bible. From the very beginning, our entire lives in the church are wrapped in this promise, this comfort, this challenge. In life and death, we belong to God. It starts at the very beginning with baptism, especially when we baptize babies who, at best, are sleepy, passive participants in this process. We proclaim that God loves and claims us long before we knew anything about it. But even when we baptize adults, we recognize that God's grace and care have been at work in this person's life for a long time, shaping them, pushing them, bringing them to this moment. In baptism, we are claimed as one of God's own beloved children. We are united with Christ in his death and resurrection, and we are joined to the church with the rest of God's own beloved children. Then we are fed and nourished along the way as Jesus calls us to the table, not as a reward for being the best, but as a family dinner. Together we struggle and pray and learn and hope and grow, trusting in this promise. And then when our time comes and we have died. Someone else stands to proclaim this promise once again for us. Our funeral liturgy in the PCUSA ends with these words, a commendation. It says, "Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive them into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light." Amen. It is a